Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is in regards to training, and we're going to be talking about muscle intention versus movement intention. So, what is that? So, when we lift weights, resistance training, doing exercise, whatever, there's kind of two categories that a lot of people's movements can fall into. And they're either thinking of what are the muscles doing while I'm doing this exercise, and that would be muscle intention. So the intention of the movement, I probably need to change the word movement, the intention of the exercise is to focus on the muscles. Then we have movement intention, and the intention of the exercise is to move the weight. So you can tell why I had to change the word movement. So the intention of the movement is to movement. But that's basically what it falls into. So we're either paying attention to what our muscles are doing, and everything we're doing is with the intent of the reaction, response, and feel of the individual muscle. Or we're worrying about moving a weight. So we're trying to get quote-unquote work done. So I'm trying to move the barbell from A to B, or the dumbbell from A to B. I'm trying to just move this thing. I'm not really paying attention to... it is true that we want to pay attention to what our muscle's doing in regards to, are we in the right position? So do we have the good technique? Do we have the correct body position? But we're not trying to feel an individual muscle while we're doing the exercise. So let's go through some examples. So a muscle intention, we commonly are going to think of this as like bodybuilders, where they'll be doing like, say, like lat pull downs, and they're trying to feel, specifically trying to feel their lats contract in their back as they drive their elbows down into the floor or down towards their hips. So they're not trying to feel their biceps. They're not trying to feel their forearms. They're not trying to feel other muscles getting involved. They want to isolate out in their mind just their lats. And that's where their focus is. So they're going to move the weight in a slower manner. They don't really want momentum. They want constant tension on the muscle. So that way the muscle is constantly having to do work. And they're going to kind of pay attention to what position isolates out that muscle the best. So they find if they pull through their pinky versus through their pointer finger, you can actually get a better contraction in your lat by pulling through your pinky. If you pull through your pointer finger, you're going to get your bicep to fire harder. So there are really small things that play a big difference when you're looking for a muscle intent or muscle movement, intention muscle damage. So that's kind of like the nuances there, and there's a ton more, by the way. Like when you do bicep curls, for example, if you think of lifting your pinky, driving your pinky up through the handle or the bar, that'll, rather than your pointer finger or the middle of your palm, so think of driving your pinky up through the handle or the bar, and you're going to get a better bicep contraction than you would if you were thinking of the middle of your palm or your pointer finger. So there's a lot of variances, and that would be of the assumption that you're doing a bicep curl with your palm up, by the way, facing the ceiling. So there's a lot of movements that way that really help, a lot of cues, body cues, that can help you pay attention to what muscle and how to isolate out a muscle. The other example we have is more like, say, strength movements like powerlifters or strongman, Olympic lifting, things where the person is just trying to move the weight. So they have to have good form. So they're paying enough attention to their muscles to ensure that they're in safe positions, they're in the strongest positions. But like I said, they're not trying to feel an individual muscle fiber. So when a powerlifter does a one rep max on a squat, they're not trying to isolate out just their quads. So they don't want to try to like avoid thinking of any hamstring or glutes or any kind of other stabilizers and just trying to focus on their quads. If they did that, they'd probably be way weaker, or they'd tear their quad because the weight is overloaded to where the quad can't do the weight by itself. So that's the other kind of little caveat change difference here, is that movement intention exercises are often done very heavy, whereas muscle intention exercises are done under like medium or medium heavy weights. So, but it's not like maximal. You're not going to one rep max a bicep curl. It just isn't even useful for what the goal would be. So if we look at it in general, when most people are wanting to change their body shape, So, you know, I want to build a little bit of, like, rear delts to help balance out my front delts. Or I don't like the way my back of my arm kind of jiggles, so I want to train the muscles there to kind of strengthen that area, get more muscle there. And maybe as I also diet down, it will give more shape and tone to that area. So you can also think of people wanting to balance out muscles of their legs. Maybe they're very quad dominant, so they want to bring in more hamstrings. So there's a lot of things we would do aesthetically about changing muscle shapes or muscular balances. All of that stuff should be done with the movement, should be done with muscle intention. So you have to be going slow, you have to try to feel the muscle that's working, and you want to try to take your time and really make that muscle work. So anybody who's doing bodybuilding, aesthetic competitions, rehab therapy, so if you're trying to fix an injury, you want to be doing it nice and slow, focus on the actual muscle, what's the muscle doing, and put the work into the muscle. This can be very hard for some people because it requires you to calm down and actually focus in on muscles that maybe you're not really good at feeling at the moment. So there's a lot of techniques in bodybuilding where you do what's called like priming exercises, and where I might do like chest flies before I do chest presses. And if I pre-exhaust my chest doing the flies, when I go do presses, I might be able to better feel my chest because it's already fatigued. So there's a lot of techniques and stuff that you would do if you're looking at aesthetics or bodybuilding or any kind of muscle intention. There's a whole world of techniques. I mean, that would be multiple podcasts about all the ways in which you can improve your ability to feel muscles and why that's important. Then if we think of movement intention, so again, that's kind of like strength expression would be a kind of like a general term for that. Is you're not trying to make individual muscles do anything with the intent of kind of single muscle manipulation. You're trying to show off. You're trying to move this weight around. So if you're like a powerlifter, you're trying to do a one rep max of squat, bench, or deadlift. Or if you're a strongman, you're trying to do a rep max. So maybe you're trying to deadlift 700 pounds in 60 seconds, as many reps as you can. We think of like Olympic lifting, so trying to do snatch or clean and press. Those are very strength-based, explosive-based activities. So they're not a lot of time or attention. You're not trying to think of individual muscles. You're just trying to lift that bar from the floor to over your head. And then we think of athletic expression, which would be like power cleans, jumps, stuff like that. So if what you're trying to do is to show off strength, you're trying to express the strength you have, that is movement intention. If you're trying to damage muscle or work muscle specifically, that is muscle intention. Okay? So that's kind of the kind of variance we have there. And the reason why this podcast topic actually came up was I was talking to a powerlifter, one of the clients I work with online, and we were clarifying that when they do their heaviest powerlifting-based stuff, so their squat, bench, and deadlift stuff, they should be thinking of movement intention. When they go do their accessories like hamstring curls, stiff leg deadlifts, walking lunges, they should be thinking of muscle intention. So the best way to do powerlifting is to have a very good understanding of, for each exercise throughout my workout, what is my focus? What is my intent? Am I intending to express strength with this movement? Or am I intending to develop my muscles? So chances are, if it's a bigger lift, you know, variation of a squat, bench, or deadlift, it's probably strength expression. So they should be moving with absolutely perfect form, but they're not trying to isolate out a single muscle. They're trying to move the weight in a good pathway, but nice and strong. Then, when they do smaller isolative type movements like dumbbell chest presses, or maybe they're doing flies to help build their chest, so they want to think of switching over to muscle intention, going slower, using no momentum, trying to isolate out the muscle or the set of muscles that are being targeted. So that's the idea. So they're almost always switching back and forth between movement intention and muscle intention. And then when I work with my bodybuilders, the percentages and stuff are all changed, but they still have movement intention exercises. So sometimes we'll switch over our mindset to a movement intention, so that way we can get a form of an overload onto the muscles involved. So let's say, for example, I want to build some of these quadriceps. And we might do leg extensions. We might warm up doing single leg extensions. So until we max out the weight for that, and we're doing that under muscle intention. Then we move to both leg at the same time leg extensions. That allows us to further overload with more increased weight, and we're going to still do that with muscle intention. Then we might go do tempo front squats. So they do 3 seconds down, 3 seconds up, And that might be, again, muscle intention, but that's a bigger, heavier movement, adds even more weight. And then we finish with something like a hack squat, and we're going to go to movement intention, and I want them to crank out like 6 to 10 reps as hard as they can. By then, the quadriceps are so beat up that there's no way they're not getting involved and getting maximally stimulated on the hack squat. So we're using movement intention, kind of more aggression, a little bit of momentum to kind of push those quads into deeper stress. So that's the idea where a bodybuilder may use movement intention, even though their main goal overall is muscles. Because sometimes that movement intention can be used to develop their muscles if placed in the right way. And that's the same thing with powerlifters or strength athletes. They're going to do probably more movement intention stuff, but there still is room for muscle intention and absolutely needed in their workouts and in their training, and it's absolutely helpful. So everybody would benefit from understanding the difference between these two, but also understanding how to use each of them for what they're expecting out of that given exercise. So as they go through their workout, they would say, okay, what's the goal of this? Is this strength expression or is this muscular development? If it's muscle development, then I want to use muscle intention focus. If it's movement, strength expression, I want to use movement intention focus. Okay? So that's the benefit. Now, there are different kind of guiding rules or volume workloads type of stuff that are specific to each of these. So I wanted to run through that real quick in this podcast. And I am going to use this podcast, by the way, for referencing future clients. So that's why I want to try to set down some good concrete numbers here and explain this concept nicely, hopefully. So our guide for muscle intention, when our goal is to manipulate muscles, place a stress on the muscles, we don't want to use momentum. We want to always have constant tension on the muscle. And we actually use time frames considered time under tension. So it's often shortened to be TUT, and people just call it TUT. So some people will call it tempo control or rep speed control. So there's a lot of varying names to this stuff. But when the muscle is placed under a weight load and the muscle is given the load of the weight. So we did a podcast very recently, podcast number 214, titled Understanding Rep Ranges and Expected Results. What I'm about to tell you right now about all this time under tension stuff, that's explained even more detail in that podcast. So if you want to learn more about this time under tension stuff and more about how to do muscle intention movements more correctly, you want to go listen to podcast number 214 after you listen to this one. So what this relates to is if I start a movement and I place the weight load into the muscles, however long the muscles are under the stress will dictate what results I get. Now, in this, we in 214 podcast, we talked about the caveat of if I walk out a squat and then like the time spent walking the squat out, getting into position, all before I actually perform the squat, that doesn't count. So it's when I would like bend my knees and my hips and actually place the load into the muscles, that's when your time under tension would start. So I can't walk the bar out, taking like 10 seconds to do so, do one rep, then walk the bar in and say, oh, that took me 30 seconds to do one rep. No, it didn't. So it was only once you were in place and you went down and up, that was the only part that counted. Okay. So same thing for bodybuilders is if I'm doing, say, leg press, but I lock my legs out at the top of every single press, take a couple deep breaths, go again, lock my legs out, take a couple deep breaths, that doesn't count. You can't relax the muscle, release the muscle. So, yeah, you still have the stress of the weight on you, but if that stress is being carried through the joints, it doesn't count as time under tension. So, if we do activities of 10 seconds or less, that is more so related to strength expression. You're not going to get much muscular change from those. You will get some muscle damage, a very small amount, but you're going to get a lot of joint damage too. And it wouldn't be enough amount of muscle damage that you could repeat activities of 10 seconds or less often enough, frequently enough, volume-wise enough to actually get muscle growth. If you tried to do that, you'd probably blow through all your joints and you'd beat the living crap out of yourself. So activities of 10 seconds or less are not very helpful for muscular development, okay? And this doesn't only mean growth. This also means like shaping and kind of toning, all those kind of terminologies. So anytime we want to affect the muscle, so whether you get growth or not from training, it depends on your nutrition. It has nothing to do with time under tension or stress. So we have done a past podcast. I don't remember the number exactly, but the title was using muscle damage for fat loss. So you can look that up. But the benefit of that we talked about was that you can use very heavy hard training, then a controlled nutritional intake, and you can actually get super shredded just due to the amount of calories that your damaged muscles will burn trying to fix themselves. So if anybody's listening to this and they want to get leaner, they want to get tighter and more toned body, you want to train with just like a bodybuilder. You want to train super hard, beat the crap out of those muscles, but you just don't eat in excess. You will not get big, and you'll actually get leaner faster. Okay? So stop doing circuits of that fluffy weight. That ain't going to work. So lift some heavy stuff. So activities of 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension. They are strength building. So 10 seconds or less is kind of strength expression. It happens so fast, your body's just kind of showing off what it can do, and that's about it. So activities of 10 to 20 seconds are more strength building. So the activity is long enough that you get more communication between your brain and your muscle cells, and it helps develop your nervous system, helps develop your skill for strength expression. So 10 to 20 seconds is kind of like building strength, building your ability to express your strength. So 10 seconds or less is I'm showing off my strength. 10 to 20 seconds is I'm building my strength. Neither of those really relate to much muscle damage, high enough that you could do enough volume of it to get muscle growth from it. So yes, it does have muscle damage to it, but you can't do enough volume to get enough muscle damage to equate to growth or change, because you'd run into joint stress or nervous system stress way sooner. So activities of 20 to 30 seconds, that is considered heavy bodybuilding stuff, heavy muscle building. So heavy muscle stress. You're going to get some strength stuff, but not really from sets of 20 to 30 seconds. It's more so going to be very heavy kind of muscle manipulation. So that's kind of like our bread and butter if you're going for muscle intent. That means that the shortest your time frame should be is 20 seconds. So if you're doing a movement and you want to build or develop or do something with to your muscles out of that movement, if you're doing it for less than 20 seconds, you're not getting a really good effect. Okay, you're not getting the right effect. So you have to do it for at least 20 seconds to get the muscles to really start to have stress and change from it. So 20 to 30 seconds is kind of heavy muscle building, muscle stress. 30 to 60 seconds is kind of like our medium and light building stuff. So you're not going to get really any strength from that. But you're going to get maximal kind of muscle manipulation, muscle damage, muscle stress. So that's where the bread and butter of your training should be if your focus is muscle intention for that specific exercise. So if I'm doing lying hamstring curls because I want my hamstrings to get bigger, I should do at shortest 20-second activities, at longest 60-second. So that's the time under tension frame that I'm looking for, is 20 to 60 seconds. So I might do week one as heavy as I can do for sets of 60 seconds. Then week two, I might do heavier for sets of 50. Week three, I might do heavier for sets of 40. Week four, I might do heavier for sets of 30. And what that'll do is it'll allow me to get progressive overload in the heaviness of the weight. And that'll help me kind of get heavier and harder stress onto those hamstrings. So you can do it that way, where you progress up in strength, in the heaviness over weeks, and that actually helps relate to hamstring strength. Or you can progress up in your volume, where I don't worry about getting heavier. I actually go lighter, but maybe more time under tension, or I keep the weight the same and try to increase my time under tension. So maybe week one, I do a certain weight for 30 seconds. Week two, I try to do the same weight, but I try to get 35 seconds. Week three, I do the same way, but I do 40 seconds. Week four, I do the same way, but I do 45 seconds. So that increased my volume without increasing my weight load, and that's going to relate more to muscle development, muscle growth. So again, assuming I'm eating enough, that'll relate more to muscle growth and muscle development than it would for strength. So when I program for clients, if I want that muscle to get bigger and stronger, I tend to have a progressive overloading in the weight used. If I just want the muscle to be bigger and I want to kind of protect the joints around that muscle, I'll do a progressive volume increase rather than a weight increase. So anything over 60 seconds is more muscle endurance. Okay, so that is kind of your guide for time and retention ranges. But if you want more detail, go listen to podcast number 214. Now, what do we do for movement intention? So we know movement intention was meant to be more strength expression, strength building. So we already know that that's going to be the lower time frames. That's going to be kind of the heavier based stuff. Now, there are guidelines that you can use for knowing how much is enough to do when you're focusing on that goal. And there's a chart called Prolepin's chart. That's Prilepin. Prilepin. At least that's how I pronounce it. So it might be Prilepin, Prilepin, I don't know, whatever it is. But type that in. So Prilepin, so Prilepin's chart. So I'm going to go through it real quick. And what it is in regards to, it kind of relates to the percentage of your one rep max for the movement you're doing. So whether I'm doing squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, cleans, blah, 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 blah. So whatever the strength movement that I'm doing, so that I want to have the movement intention on, how do I know how many reps to do, how many sets to do? What's enough for a good workout? Prilepin's chart tells us that. So if I'm doing about 55 to roughly 70% of my one rep max, I should often do that in sets of 3 to 6 reps. And about 24 total reps is optimal, but there's a window of allowance for about 18 to 30 reps for that movement. Now, why there's an allowance is because every athlete's a little bit different. Some people, they're better at expressing their strength, so they're going to get beat up more from their reps, so they might not need as many reps. If somebody's less efficient in expressing their strength, they might need more reps to get enough work in. So it kind of depends. They give you that little bit of allowance. So if you're ever uncertain, you would start at the bottom of the allowance number. You would see how you recovered from that workout. If you felt good, you can move that number up. So again, 55 to about 70%. You should do sets of 3 to 6 reps per set. And look for about 24, which is optimal reps, but your window is 18 to 30. Now, if you have trouble remembering all these numbers as I read through them, Google Prilepin's chart. Go look it up, and you can see it physically written down. That helps. I actually have it saved in my phone, so because I'm a dork. 70 to 80% of your one rep max. Again, it's sets of like 3 to 6 reps per set. You would look for 18 is an optimal number for reps, but the allowance is anywhere from 12 to 24. So it's a big allowance because there is individual differences. Some exercises also just beat you up more than other exercises. Think of doing a log clean and press. That's a shitload of work. That's going to beat you up. So there's a lot of muscles involved. There's a lot of stress involved. So you may not need as many reps to get what you need in terms of a stimulus for that workout. So then 80 to 90%, now that things are getting a little heavier, it's typically only 2 to 4 reps per set. And you're going to look for 15 optimal reps with an allowance of 10 to 20. Then at 90% and over, you're pretty much doing sets of 1 to 2 reps per set. So if you can do more than 2 reps, it's probably not actually 90%. You're probably stronger than what you think you are. So, but it should be 1 to 2 reps per set, about 4 optimal reps with an allowance of 1 to 10. 10's pretty extreme. But for lightweight clients or for weaker clients, they might need higher amounts of work. So I use this for my female clients because in general, say a female is struggling to bench 120 pounds, that's not a lot. 120 pounds isn't a lot of stress on the body. So they can really push up to the higher ends of these volumes, sometimes even a little bit more. And that's what they need to create the systemic effect that they're going to get for a strength effect. Whereas if a guy benches 500 pounds, he absolutely does not need the upper end of those ranges. So one rep at 500 is going to beat him up enough, so he might be needing the lower end of the ranges. So typically, the stronger you are, the more efficient at expressing your strength you are, the lower in the ranges you need to be. If you're weaker and less efficient, you need to be in the upper ranges. So too often, and when I was younger, I always thought like, okay, if the allowance is 1 to 10, I'm going to do 10 every time. And I thought of me being hardcore, that's me being a dumbass. And it was actually, I was insulting myself to think that I needed 10. So the better you are as an athlete, quote unquote, the less reps you should need. So that's kind of the idea. Now, these are quick rundowns of kind of the purpose and definitions of muscle intention versus movement intention, and quick rundowns of what your guiding rules are for each of them. But again, I wanted to kind of introduce this and point out the fact that they are different. So if I want my muscles to change from an exercise, I have a whole set of rules around time and attention. Whereas if I want to get stronger from that exercise, now all of a sudden I have to worry about volume and percentage of the one rep max. I'm not really looking at time under tension as much as I'm looking at the overall workload and the intensity of the workload. So I'm looking at volume and intensity and trying to balance those out correctly. So kind of our takeaway kind of message is, anytime you are doing an exercise, you should know or ask yourself, am I doing this for muscle intention or am I doing it for movement intention? If it's muscle intention, am I under the correct time frame? Am I doing the right time and intention? If it's movement intention, am I doing the right volume load, the volume and intensity, for me to get stronger? So understanding that there's two different worlds here. So it's kind of like drag racing and NASCAR. They both use vehicles, but good Lord, are they different sports. One drives in a straight line, and it takes like 10 seconds maybe. NASCAR lasts a year and a half, boring as hell, and they just take left-hand turns. So that's the idea. They both use cars, but they use them differently. So muscle intention and movement intention, they both use barbells and dumbbells and exercises, but they use them in very different ways to get different effects from them. Cool. Okay? So make sure you ask yourself which one you should be doing. Make sure you follow the guidelines of which one you want to be in. So you have to use the right standards to get the right results. Just moving shit around does not get you results once you pass like the beginner stages, so the first 6 months or so of training. You have to know why and how and what you're doing. So just showing up to the gym and doing something doesn't count anymore. Okay, you have to put a little more thought into it. Cool. So hopefully that helped. Hopefully that gave you some good information to kind of food for thought. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love to hear from you. So the podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. Okay? And you can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.